This is a live podcast recording from the beautiful Bingham River House in Southwest London, where I was joined by Colin Bedell, who is Queer Cosmos on Instagram. And we talked all things astrology, relationships. I asked him, Colin, you and I are relationship astrologers, and we're both single. What do you think to that? And he has a great answer for that. The audience are there, and they also ask questions. But because this is a live recording, the sound is, as you might expect, it's a room full of people, and they at certain points they are asking questions, and those questions are fainter than us speaking. So this is different, a different experience. You're not listening to the weekly astrology podcast. If you are a regular listener, you're listening to something else. So just, it's just about setting expectations. It's a very friendly conversation because of that. It doesn't feel so much like a podcast because we are in a room and we're talking to those people, and we kind of forgot we were being recorded, which gives it a much more intimate feel. So I really hope you enjoy it. Do like and, do all the stuff if you do like it. Comment. Please share. Sharing is caring, and it does help us to grow. Subscribe to the newsletter. I'm francescaoddi.com. Colin is colinbedell.com. And all the things are there, all the links that you might want or need, you will find on our websites. I really hope you have a good listen. I've not listened back to it yet, but Heidi's done all the editing and has told me about the sound, which is obvious anyway, because it was a live recording. And that's it. I think it's a really it's great. It's working with Colin is always amazing because his Gemini wit and ingenuity and his Leo presence and warmth is so good to work with, because he always has something to add. Whenever I finish a sentence, I'm like, thinking of the next thing. He's always got something to add, and then vice versa. So it really flows, and it makes it fun for me, at least. It takes the pressure off because it's like spinning plates, making a pod. You're like holding all the sentences, all the things you want to say in your head, and trying to organize your head. But having someone else and a fellow astrologer, it's just really relaxing, actually. Anyway, there you go. So thanks for listening. Enjoy, and talk to you soon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Astrology Oddcast with Colin. Down.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, we're clapping. So basically,
Thank you for having me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Let you have your manners. Yeah. So I think what we'll do is we're just going to riff, because I'm going to ask Colin a load of questions. Also, please feel free, if you have really genius questions, it's going to be great to have your feedback on how to do this, because I want to start doing more interviews on the pod.
Okay.
And I have certain things, like I want to ask you about your Saturn return,
Oh, sure.
big transits. Ask you what I wanted to do with this today was like astrology versus coaching.
Ooh,
Because,
provocative. I love it.
well,
The
because,
drama.
like, there's a lot, and Nikki's a coach. Anyone else? Coach?
Oh, great. Okay,
Okay, we have
cool.
some coaches. So, with coaching, sometimes there is the idea that you can, not you, Nikki. But there's this like, we can fix it, we can fix it. And
Ah,
I wanted to
interesting,
fix
interesting.
things, obviously. We all want to fix things, but sometimes everything has its timing. So I'm curious as how, and you can ask your questions, please. Like, what is the place of astrology in coaching? Because I think some of us have karma, like money issues or love issues or whatever it is. And how much can we work with what we are, and how much can we step out of what we are? And I'm sure you'll have some perspectives.
Wow.
But Colin,
Okay.
would you like to introduce yourself, please,
Sure.
in a
Okay.
Gemini
Well,
way?
I love the way that you set the stage, Francesca, and
Like, this is
eventually
how
I'll
we're gonna
move
do
this away. I know. This is
it.
delightfully awkward and awful. And I know the Brits love that too, don't they? Okay.
I'm setting the tone.
And so, yeah. No, I love the way that you mentioned whether or not our personalities can be just kind of like normalized. Is it fixed? Can we make it adaptable? Yeah, I don't really think anybody has the answer, to be honest. Neurobiologists, spiritualists, we're all thinking out loud. So I'm not exactly sure, and I think I'm okay with that. But I would rather know that in my work, I am doing what I can to nurture and challenge people. Nurture places where they are feeling grief and they are sad about a particular thing, we can stay that. But then if they are realizing they don't want to be in that holding pattern anymore, I want to do what I can to challenge them and talk about what skills can get them out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you did ask me to introduce myself. I'm an astrologer. I'm sorry. You just mentioned this great question. Like, well, yeah, I think.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Who are you, babes?
Right. I am Colin. I am a fellow astrologer. I was on a television show with Francesca Oddi here, and we had a blast. And that's me. I'm an astrologer.
And more?
Yeah, I guess.
You do all your relationship stuff, right?
I do, yeah. Thanks, honey. Yeah, I do love relational intelligence, relational skills. So that's really probably the center of my work is like, how do we use astrology as a lens to look on relational health, relational functioning? Yeah.
And so far, like, why did you pick that? Just because you were always into it?
You know what? I actually picked it because I heard, so high full circle moment, that the UK appointed a Minister of Loneliness. And this was in 2018. And this was during my Saturn return, right when my career started. Mm-hmm. So I was in the work for about a year without necessarily a lane because, start before you're ready, figure it out, learn through experience. And then when I started learning through what I saw what was happening here about addressing loneliness as a public health crisis, then I really wondered, well, this is something that interests me, relational theory, relational intelligence, relational skills. And I just like swan dove into the literature on it. Mm. And then I wrote my second book informed by how loneliness is lethal. It actually poses more health disadvantages than excessive alcohol consumption. Mm. There's an immediate cognitive and cardiovascular decline in the absence of connection. Mm-hmm. And then I was in the astrology circuit for a few years and I was like, I don't really see a lot of pro-social astrology.
Pro-social.
Meaning, how are we helping other people in relationship more effectively connect? I saw a lot of diagnosis about like narcissists and psychic vampires. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. We can pathologize. But then what about just the fact that sometimes people are annoying and they still deserve our love anyway? Mm. Then what? Or is it literally just intimacy or I cut you off?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of third spaces.
There's really not.
Right. And so I was like, okay, what could I study? How can I learn from the people who are couples therapists and relational researchers and integrate it as best as I can into an astrological lens? Because I think people now want spiritual and scientific understanding. It's not one or the other anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm a Gemini twin. So all my life I've been in connection because I was literally in a womb with somebody, you know? So I've just been curious about these ideas for quite a while and astrology helped me, I think, understand relationships better than any other school of thought.
Oh my God. Yeah. Big time. And have you always got on with your sister?
No. Who has always got on with their sister?
No, but I think, twins can be like freaky.
Yes. Oh yeah, but they'll fight too, you know? Ooh, we fight good. But I think what's been really beautiful is like, cause I am gay. So I had to kind of go through a second maturation. I'm like convinced of that. Like queer kids needing a second puberty.
Yeah. I love what you said about that. Oh, we're going to come back to that.
Okay. Yeah. But go. So I didn't really get along well with my sister until my second puberty.
Oh really?
We did. We respected and admired each other and like very connected and loved one another, but I didn't know who I was. And without personal insight, an accurate personal insight and acceptance, can we really meaningfully connect with others? We're going to struggle. Mm. So once I went through my own little second puberty, my twin sister and I are just absolutely airtight. And yeah, she's an astrology skeptic, which I think is very Gemini. What? Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I really don't know what he does. No, she knows. She makes a point of it to like, okay, so hold on. You went to Greece, right? And then where? Why? With what network, right? No, but she is a little bit of a skeptic and she just knows that it's made my life very fulfilling and she knows that it's made me really, I think, self-actualized as best as I can. So she supports it.
Were you really annoying before your second?
Of course, I'm still annoying. You know this. You talk to me about it outside. duh. Yes, very annoying. But yes, especially I was worse than annoying. I was the worst part of my chart.
Gemini. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Harsh, cruel, deceptive. Oh yeah. I'll tell him myself. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll own it. I'll put it in front of me because if it's behind me, they can use it against me. So I'll put it in front. But it's true. Yeah, I was a proper, you know what.
Yeah. My dad's a twin and the youngest.
And
I don't think you told me that.
Really?
No.
I probably did.
Okay. It might have been a heat stroke because it was hot in Greece. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and he's next level.
Oh, you did tell me that. Okay, it's all coming back to me now, Celine Dion. Okay, here we go. Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, and I've had a lot of twins. I think, you know, being, well, one leads to the other.
Yeah.
So dad's a twin. I'm rising Gemini. My mum's Gemini moon. There's twins everywhere. And I noticed from a young age that there'd always be one twin that was a little shitbag.
That's me. 1,000%. I still am. She would say I still am. Yeah.
You're not. But what was it? When was the second puberty?
My second Jupiter return. So I don't know if anybody knows. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just had a look of recognition over there.
She knows everything.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay. And now, no, all of a sudden this person is saying, no, I don't. But maybe they do. They have the eyes.
No, Nikki knows everything. I don't know. Full astrology. He's not going to say any astrology don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my Jupiter returned. It was my 23-24, so I don't know if anybody is there yet or past it or remembers.
Didn't you have Pluto opposing some shit then as well?
Yeah, but after. Yeah, so that was Pluto on my moon. Would have been pre-Saturn return.
Okay.
Yeah, a challenge. But so the Jupiter returns happen every 11 and a half, 12 years, and they are a masterclass in personal maturation. And sometimes, so like, because this is what happened to me, it will evict you off of the premises of your own life. And it'll just be like, nope, you thought this was going to give you joy. You thought this was going to give you purpose. You thought this relationship was the end all be all. Yeah, okay, goodbye. And just, and then because Jupiter's a planet of meaning making and vision, it asks you to tell yourself a different vision to then rebuild the next 11 and a half years. So that was my second maturation.
When was it?
I would have been 2012, 2013 when Jupiter was in Gemini last.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
Yeah, see? Yeah. No, horrible.
No, but you have some... I remember asking you...
Ay, ay, ay. Must we go back to this moment? I'm sweating already.
I meant to ask you all the things I'm not supposed to say.
Mm.
Because I... Like, Colin and I, when we did the TV show, sat in that porter cabin between... The cabin thing.
Oh, yes.
What did I you call it?
Trailer. The trailer. Water. Okay, go ahead.
And we just talked, and I told him everything, never thinking, fuck. You know, like when you have a new friend and you tell them everything and they're never going to meet your friends, and then they meet your friends and you're like, oh God.
Oh, it's this. This is the one. Yeah. It's like,
all of that was highly confidential. Nobody else knows.
Circle of trust. Yeah. Okay.
But which bits?
Right. Yeah, right. But I also have the memory of a goldfish sometimes. So, like, you could tell the Gemini anything.
But I remember everything.
Yes. Yes, and it's highly uncomfortable, actually, yeah. How did you know my brother's birthday, Francesca? That I told you once.
You told me.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay. Yeah, but Jupiter return, my first Jupiter return was Savage.
Okay. So that's when anybody turns 11 and 12, or really any age that's divisible. You probably know the numbers better than
it's
I 11. Do. 11 and a half.
Oh. So, like... Yeah. 23 and a bit.
Yeah, 23, 36.
Yeah.
36 is a big one, right? 45, 59.
Yeah, everyone has a lot of
bigger
babies then.
Oh, okay. 59. Yeah. So that was this maturation.
And weirdly, today, I made a friend when I was 10. And I loved her. She was the first person I ever felt the vibes with. Aww. Like, it was such... It was just, I didn't know what it was. Maybe I did love her. I don't even know. Like, maybe I did. Like, I loved her. Oh. And then she left. Her dad got a promotion and she left. So she was only at school for 1 year. And this coincided with Pluto on my descendant. My auntie had a baby. So my auntie had been like my mum. She, you know, for 12 years, she'd just been the only one. And then she had a baby and that was, like, not cool. And then the dog died, got killed on the road. And this was Pluto on my descendant and my first Jupiter return. And it was savage. And nobody could help me. Nobody, 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 nobody. I went to school nurse. I went to doctors. I was going mad. I was probably depressed, but nobody diagnosed it because I was 11. Yeah. So nobody knew. Mm. And so astrology helped. Like now, when I printed out all my transits, when I was like 2015, 2016, and I saw 1996 and I saw all of that, I was just like, wow, you know, like... If I'd seen an astrologer who could have explained it to me, wouldn't that be amazing? But the reason I'm mentioning that is the girl lives in Richmond and she saw I was here and I went for a dog walk with her this morning. Isn't that mad?
Yeah. Look at cyclical energy. Look at astrology.
People come back. And also, I lost touch with her. And in 2005, I was in Croatia interrailing. And I used to have these premonitions. I'm going to bump into someone. I'm going to bump into someone. I'm going to see someone. I used to have these really strong premonitions that I don't really even get anymore. Maybe because I know my intuition more. Mm-hmm. So I'm more aligned with it. Whereas they just used to come in and I'm like, something's going to happen. And then I saw this girl like 200 meters ahead, saw the back of her head and blonde hair. And I was just staring and she turned around and it was her in Croatia, 2005.
Which was 11 years later, could have been another Jupiter return.
And it was Mercury retrograde. And Mercury's retrograde now. And that's why I love Mercury. And you come back every time Mercury's
every
retrograde.
Every time I retrograde back to London. Like, don't forget about me. Okay.
It's all Mercury's retrograde. Colin's here.
I know.
Why have you got so many flights? Can you tell that story?
Sure. Anybody, raise your hand if you guys know about like a ninth house transit or what that means. Any context around that? So basically, it is a moment in someone's life where they will have opportunities for further education or exploration and travel. So it's just a really wonderful time to let your curiosity take you to places that you would never even possibly dream of. You wouldn't even know how to dream, right? So I'm going through a really favorable transit to that sector of my chart. And this flight attendant contacted me and said, hey, would love to have you on as an astrologer to help me all year, except I'm a flight attendant, so I make absolutely nothing. Would it be okay, though, if I listed you as my primary traveler so you can fly anywhere you want and you just have to pay taxes?
So good, isn't it? I'm like, how do I manifest this?
So I was like, are you fucking kidding? So my, just to give you numbers here, my flight from JFK, so that's New York's airport. I'm sure you all know that, but just in case, right? JFK to Heathrow was $71. And then sometimes they register me as like staff because it says that I'm like either staff or married to staff. So they'll just put me in first class. Like, no, and I'm not saying this to be like, oh my God, you know? I'm saying this because like I am profoundly grateful and it's very much like a Jupiter in the ninth house story. And right when we got close, I was sort of realizing like, how the hell am I going to nurture these relationships in England? And then at the time, I was also applying for dual citizenship to Italy. I'm living in New York. I'm like, how in any way possible could I have the means and the time to build and nourish these relationships in three different countries? And then 2.5 months later, that's when I got this notice. And so that's also, I feel like, actually very astrologically inclined because it tells you what to pay attention to at what time, knowing there's a larger story that we're technically, I don't think, authoring, but there is something happening, right? Mm-hmm. And that goes back to your earlier point about how you were like, the thing that I have an issue with coaching is that it makes us all do everything at once. Or like in a sense, like we can't have all 12 zodiac signs in 1 minute.
Yeah.
You know? And so knowing what time you're in with the vision that a story is being expressed through you that is beyond what you can dream of. Mm-hmm. So just inhabit whatever season you're in. Let September
that,
be September.
I think it's that acceptance. And it's the same way with relationships. People are like, narcissist, get rid. Toxic, get rid.
Yeah.
It's like, you can have this, you can have that. You can be anything you want. Can you?
I think you can have it all, but you can't have it all at once.
Okay.
That's the lies Americans tell themselves. Okay, because of our culture of hyper optimization. I don't know. But it's true. I do. I think we can. It's just not all at once.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. And you can disagree, and I know you will. We'll duke it out. All right. Well, Gemini Sag style.
Just,
no, yeah.
Some of us, yeah.
It's really the wind in our sails, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what is beautiful. The wind that's in your sails right now? And then
Jupiter.
That's where you've got to steer things.
Yes.
But I've just found it so hopeful all my life. I discovered it when I was like 11.
Ah, well, there you go.
You're Irish. Why are all Irish people spiritual? Tell me. I'm sure you don't know.
I think it stems back to like Celtic mythology, and it was so ingrained in our DNA, you know, and in the land as well.
The land.
Mysticism. Yeah.
Ooh. okay.
I call it unplugging. Like when I land in Ireland, I feel it instantly. It's like this land.
It's the land.
This comes
back to travel astrology, actually. I was reading this week about, you know, there's locational astrology, there's astrocartography, which we need to talk about.
Yeah.
But also the astrology, the energy of land. Because very often I have Irish clients and we'll be talking, and then they tell me all these synchronicities, they have premonitions, they're going to bump into someone or something. And then I'm like, are you Irish? Oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, my mum was Irish. Yeah. Or, and Irish people are always, don't know, they've got a... There are which
there's an innate openness to what we don't see, I think, in Ireland that surprised me when I moved here almost 20 years ago isn't as prevalent.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think maybe there's the whole psyche of kind of keeping up appearances that is entrenched in British culture.
Yeah.
We don't
Capricorn
we don't
vibes
in Ireland as yeah. much. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's a kind of putting on this brave face and keep calm, carry on, and all of those mantras.
Yeah.
But how do the Irish do it? Because the Irish are still quite repressed.
Do you know what? That's why they drink so much. Yes. Absolutely. But like, if you think of the culture of pub life and like all the melancholy of kind of singing, all the ancient songs, and you know, there's a leaning into. The days gone by, right? So, yeah, this a holding of the magical kind of fairy element of it as well. Like, there's a real belief of fairies in Ireland.
Oh.
Yeah, really?
Mm, yeah, definitely. And, of course, all the Celtic mythology kind of plays on that as well.
Do you believe in
we
fairies?
Go and do a... Not really now. I did when I was a child.
My astrology teacher does, big time.
Why not? You know?
Yeah, the elementals, all the elemental
anybody.
Spirits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so astrology of the land, coming back, astrocartography.
Sure.
Your Mars line.
Yes. What should we explain what that is? For
yeah, it's your
raise
job.
Your hand if you don't know what if this is a foreign language to you. Astrocartography. If you...
Well, it will be for the pod anyway. No
oh, okay, okay. So yeah, it's the idea that they could literally take your astrology and put it over the globe. And determine what planetary lines over certain cities to contextualize further energy or possibility there, right? So, like, one could say, like, for example, my Mars line, which rules action, energy, a little bit of conflict, but eroticism, right? All fun, but sometimes hard things. My Mars line is, like, straight through London. And so, and I also connect with, like, other Mars-influenced people. So, Scorpio, Aries, right? So, if you've ever gone to a place... And just sort of said, there's a specific energy here. For you, it could be New York, right? Maybe your Venus line
you
runs through
it?
New York.
So I've had my astrocartography done by a New York astrologer.
Nice.
And she said...
Antje Sommer of Brooklyn Astrology?
She does...
Is she German?
No.
Oh, not her. Okay.
Tattoos.
Got it. Okay, yeah.
So she said that in Ireland, it's much better. My 12th house is alleviated here. If I lived in Ireland, I feel the burden of the kind of weight on my shoulders. Further east is better, or past Ireland over to the US. So she actually said, when you're holidaying, especially when it comes to Venus and romance, you should be looking at Berlin and further east.
Wow.
Going in that direction.
So that's why you're going to New York to find love.
Yeah. Or like Berlin. Yeah.
It's Colin.
If only I know. I always ask, why am I gay? Why? Why? I love women so much more. Sorry, but I do. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. It's true. 100%. Do you ever see me hanging out with other men?
Rarely.
There you go. And if you ever see, yeah, anyway, I won't say it. So that's astrocartography.
Like
and I think it could be very inspiring and helpful should you decide to want to move to a place that could offer new context and opportunities for you.
But also in connections.
Mm-hmm.
Like the moment we met Venus and Mars going through London.
Oh,
did you know that?
Oh, yeah. And then it was a Venus-Mars conjunction, remember?
Yeah, 15 degrees Capricorn.
In Capricorn. Ooh. And we have like funny Capricorn energy, the two of us together. Yeah.
How's that?
Well, you messaged me the other day. You were like, I love your outfit. It's very Capricorn. has an outfit ever been described as a zodiac sign in your conversations? Because they should be. It's fucking hysterical. Can I curse? I mean, I'm in England.
I do.
You're right. Duh. I know. I shouldn't ask. That's why I love this country, too. They don't give a fuck. Usually, they don't. But yeah, like, it's so funny to bring up certain, like, astrological contexts that really one would not think. You know, like, oh my God, your outfit is giving Taurus? And people are like, huh?
No one knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. It's just funny. Part of the astrology is the fact that it goes over people's heads. That's what cracks me up. And then we just talk as if I said, what? The sky is blue.
I didn't realize how bad I'd got. I said that in the podcast yesterday. I'm trying to really bring myself down because when I was in the Maldives, people are like, I don't know what you're saying.
Right.
And I think it's because I've been doing this for so long.
Can you speak English, British woman?
I'm around a lot of people who have come on a journey and understand if I say Mercury and Saturn and moon, everyone kind of knows.
Yeah.
And there's enough people now that I can do it. But the beginners are just like, what the fuck are you on about?
And then that was probably the hardest part of our work in the television show was actually like really making sure that we made this complicated conversation as accessible as possible without knowing who's watching, where's the cast at with this.
The cast were great, though. They caught up.
They did, yeah. But, like, Francesca would be like, well, you know, I'm being Pluto'd right now. And people are like, we thought Pluto wasn't even a planet. How are you being Pluto'd? Yeah, and then we're just supposed to know what that means, you know? But that actually is where astrology, I think, is really comedic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's a whole nother separate conversation. But, like, I love it. I love, like, talking about animals and their zodiac signs, which to me is like very normal, but I'm like, is your dog a Pisces? And they're like, no, an Aries. He's so bossy. Like, it's just, it's campy. It's funny.
It's true.
It's true. You know, right. You know, so like, it's, I love throwing it in the most seemingly disconnected conversations and watching people go like, what is he going on about? Mm. Cracks me up.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking.
Okay.
That we did the relationship astrology TV show.
Yeah, we did.
And we're not in a relationship.
That's, yeah. What do you think that means? You tell me, all-knowing one. You're going to give me some shit about my transits?
No, like both of those. It's just like sometimes I, you know, when I do clients' charts and I'm like, look, this is what's going on, X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. But don't listen to me.
Because I'm single. All right. Do you want me to say anything about that or do you want to keep going?
I'd love you to chip in.
Well, this is actually what I love about queer culture because we do not place necessarily romantic and intimate relationships at the center.
Mm.
We don't. So we try our best to really bring a romance to our friends and like really deepen the romance with them and learn relational skills and intimacy, sometimes in non-intimate relationships, right? So, and then we do our best to bring sort of a friendship ethic to romance.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
So Uranian.
Hello, what rules queerness? Uranus, don't even.
On like the second day.
Don't even, okay. I know. I was waiting for it. I walked into it though, I really did. I handed it to her. Go ahead, you remember.
Well, no, you know, he's like, Colin's like American and woke and really polite. Well, I thought that's what you were. I didn't know. So, you know, like,
turns out he's Canadian, not woke. No,
straight, really straight.
Yeah,
no, right. So, I like to astrologize everything, you know, to the point where it's a bit extreme, but I just, everything I'm translating. And of course, I think you can see sexuality in the chart a bit. I think you can. Mm-hmm. And I've just always thought that. And I've always looked at it and found it interesting. But it's like, are Michelle and Colin going to be into that? Because they might not be.
Right.
Because I know other astrologers who hate it.
Yeah.
And I think I told you, didn't I? I saw someone on Facebook after there was a conference where a lady, there's astrology conferences, by the way, people don't know that, but there are. And there was a lady who did a chart and their child was trans and they'd done the chart of when they transitioned and all of it. It was really interesting and I loved it. And a lot of it was aligned with what I'd already thought. But another astrologer went to Facebook and was like, you can't do that. You don't see sexuality in the chart. And they got really mad about it. So I was very like, look, I'm not going to bring this up.
Yeah.
And then Colin like lies himself across three plastic chairs and goes, apparently Uranus is the gayest planet.
Did Uranus make me gay? Right. No, bitch.
He's like, what do you think? Yeah. And I was like, I agree.
I know. See, that's what I, again, the comedy that astrology can bring. And like, don't take yourself so fucking seriously.
You with your bum bag. Your vest. You didn't have any clothes. Why didn't you have any clothes?
I don't know. I don't know, actually. Who knows?
You just had those pom-pom shorts and a vest.
The pom-pom shorts. Okay. Apparently, those are really short shorts that show,
everything.
Anyway, And I was sprawled out like Rose in Titanic, like, who's going to draw me? Wondering if a planet made me gay. What am I thinking, you know?
But
I
did love it, though. Do you have a strong Uranus?
I do, actually, yeah.
Anyway, you're a Gemini.
Yeah, Uranus, I do, actually. But it's not strongly aspecting a whole lot, because it's an early Chiron. Degrees Capricorn. Okay, opposite, So.
Not really.
But yeah, there's a lot of ways to interpret. And all this to say, I actually think that, one does not need to necessarily be in a romantic and intimate relationship to offer wisdom. Right, because one of my favorite relational theorists, are you guys familiar with Esther Perel's work? Yeah, so great. Yeah, no, you nodded your head. So she argues that what has made relationships really suffer is that we make one person, the romantic partner, what a village of people need to be, right? Be my priest, my co-parent, my financial advisor, my passionate lover. She's a Leo.
With moon in?
Leo too. She's a double moon in Leo. Yeah, yeah. She's never gave her year, but she just said August 13th. Yeah, but she told me she was a Leo moon. And I was like, how do you know? She's like, how do you think I don't know? Yeah. So anyway. But we try not to make the romantic and intimate partner the central organizing agent of relationality. You know, you can get so much from so many people. Mm-hmm. And like, why do you think there's so many amazing conversations right now about non-monogamy? Mm. Right? So there's just like... Yeah, we're single, but I will honestly say, and I'm not just doing this because this is your podcast, but there are very few people who make me feel more understood than you.
Oh,
please. I swear. So it's always a yes for me whenever you ask me to do anything because of that connection and support. And you use astrology and deepen friendship to make other people feel loved and respected for exactly who they are. So if that's a skill that you can help other people in romantic and intimate relationships, have at it.
I can't cope when you get sincere.
I know, American.
I go full autism, like.
It's the British autism, babes. Okay, sorry, guys. But
if Marvin Cancer comes out, and I'm like, I've got Venus in Capricorn.
Stop. The sincerity, I can't bear it. Yeah, whatever.
He does these little speeches. I'm like,
I know, she hates
then
it.
Then I text him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
After. It's fine, I'll allow it.
I'm lacking water.
It's okay.
I remember reading that in Sue Tompkins, the Contemporary Astrologer's Handbook. Oh. People who lack water in their chart often send thank you notes because people don't know what they really feel because they don't show their emotions in the moment.
Oh, okay, fair. So thank you, Sue. See, look at what astrology
can do.
Yeah. Aww, look at what astrology can do.
Tell you why you like your art, because I knew that. I knew that I was sensitive, repressed Capricorn, but I grew up thinking I was a Sag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you had a lot of Capricorn energy in your chart, yeah? And like, again, look at what it can do to not only help you understand your own insight, but then isn't it such a gift that like you can use it to really understand and celebrate other people's strengths and challenges?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know how people live without it. I don't know how people live without yoga meditation.
Agreed.
So that was like first. I first got into yoga, had a bad back, and everyone was like, you should do yoga, you should do yoga. And I was like, oh, fine, I'll do it. And then I was like, oh, wow, I can be sane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to like shower. And I used to really, really, really send some emails I regretted a lot in my 20s. And then I just stopped doing that. And then with astrology, like being able to understand people... Mm. How do people... some people don't want to know, I guess, and they're just more accepting. But for me, and I guess that makes sense, being rising Gemini and having air, I need to understand.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't learn to drive until I understood how the car worked. So I can't relate to people unless I'm like, why are you like sulking? People who sulk, like, why are you sulking? Don't do that. Do you sulk?
No, because I don't have strong Scorpio placements. And I know was that the sign you were suggesting?
Cancer.
Oh, yeah, Cancer too. No, I don't sulk. No, I'm like, get over it. Yeah. And that's, I also think your astrology too in action because you're a Taurus moon and Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, the fixed signs, they really love methodologies.
Oh, you always say that.
Because
what
I'm convinced.
What did you used to say? there was a phrase you used to learn. I could stay. I can't remember.
About fixed fucks?
About being practical. That's what my family calls them. I call them fixed fucks too.
Oh, you do? Okay, see? Family.
I'm quite fixed.
Yeah, well, because they want... So does anybody have any strong Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius? Nice. Which one?
Taurus. You're 0 degrees
nice.
Taurus, are you?
Nice. Yeah. Nice, yeah, see?
With Pluto opposite, or...?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Great. Oh, so very fixed. There you go. Yeah, boots. I know, of course. Of course. Giving Renaissance
guess.
Boots.
You should have made us guess the moon.
Yeah, I know. Guess the moon. I know, yeah. Shoe cam. But they are the zodiac sign that love methodology and process because there are systems for these kind of things. I think
systems.
You were looking for the system. Yeah, and you found it in astrology. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Any other systems? Do you like any other systems? Human design. Nikki loves human design.
Oh, great.
I've never felt the call.
Yeah, I don't think I have the brain for more than one esoteric methodology, but God bless when people can do more than one. I cannot. I am not a good multitasker.
Aligns with it, though. Like, when you're saying, mine is, I'm a 5-1 projector, so I like to make structures and processes out of things. Mm. My sun. So it's you can see how they...
Yes, they all interact. Yeah, because it's maybe we're all saying the same thing in different languages. Yeah, so it's beautiful when that convergence. Ugh,
we're
I love
the same.
That.
We're
a manifesting generator.
6-4 or something, huh?
Maybe. I don't know those numbers.
Yeah, I don't really, but I think we're the same.
Of course.
Why?
Why are you the same?
what do you see that as? If if projector is fixed, what's man gen?
Oh, well, no, it's just because then the astrology, it depends what all of your...
Oh, we're the same, though. Opposite.
Okay, yeah.
Same, opposite.
But that makes sense for us. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for you, the money journey is manifesting generator.
Yeah.
The umbrella that you're sitting under, right?
Yeah.
So you're under the same umbrella, but...
Yeah, we were a lot.
Oh, we were! That's weird, yeah. Perfect metaphor.
But my human design, the app, is excellent. And the lady who created it, she's a Londoner, so...
Ooh.
Zoe Jenner. But yeah,
it's really interesting. I found it fascinating, really knowing my children's charts deeply, looking at their human design.
Oh, because you could see the interactions.
It actually helped me understand human design more.
And how blessed are they to have you as a mother?
It's
true. I'm sorry. No, Mars in Cancer. I can't help it.
I can't believe I missed your Venus in Pisces.
Yeah.
Because when he got here and he's like, we start at 6. And I was like, no, Marie's quite Neptune. And I was like, I don't know why she's quite Neptune, but she's quite Neptune.
Venus and Pisces. Yes. What is time? We're in the business of it, but what is it?
I'm always super punctual.
Oh, good.
But relax.
In flow. Yeah.
Well, it's always going to work out.
So. Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Relating to the astrocartography. So if we are to have the awareness as to where we're best situated for... professional success or for love or whatever the thing is that we're desiring.
Do you want to ask this here?
Oh, smart.
If we go to... So, the question is this.
Yeah.
If we go on our solar return to a city that works according to our astrocartography...
Yeah. Whoa. I heard a debate about this, of course.
Did you?
This?
Yeah.
Great.
Does it avoid... hard things in a sense or protect?
Do you call in whatever the thing is?
Good or bad?
So for me, going to New York on the day of my birthday in order to have more potential of meeting the one.
Yeah, right.
Or is that...
Do you have anything to say?
I will, but you go. I feel like there, you have.
Yeah, so the question is, because sometimes folks, every year we have an opportunity to have a chart that forecasts the year ahead. So the astrologers they call it the solar return because the sun has returned to where it was. It's another way of saying happy birthday. And there are folks who choose spaces that theoretically accommodate more opportunity and things to further whatever it is that they desire. I have heard that it doesn't always work, but again, we're all thinking out loud, who the fuck can say, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feel moved to go to a place or try something else out, I say, let your intuition guide you, and then you're the expert of your own life and chart in that way.
Yeah.
But there's also solar return methodologies that don't even take into account the city of the solar return, but it still works with location, the birth location. So,
I had a client yesterday I was looking at solar returns and they wanted to know whether to be, where to be on their birthday, and I was just like, you know what, either one is going to map out. I do think if you go to a place on your astrocartography, you are calling that planet in.
Yeah.
You are. If you go to your Mars, I've read people who like had went to their Mars line, had unexpressed Mars energy. Mars being anger and aggression and sexuality. But if you've got a repressed Mars, you're not doing your Mars, and you go to your Mars line, you're going to get Marsed. And I've seen people who like have car accidents and stuff on their Mars line because they're not doing their Mars.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. But maybe in by doing, having Mars do you,
it activates you. Don't you think we do the planets or they do us?
Yeah, yes.
That's what I heard. Yeah. That's what Frank used to say.
And again, zooming out, have you ever heard a conversation like this before?
Well, they have.
That the planets are doing you?
Do the planets or they do the...
I do this for a living.
People keep asking me why I've left London, right? I've got Uranus on my moon.
Okay.
I'm like, where?
Right. So where could I go?
Anywhere. Have to move. Uranus, the planet of change, is on my moon, my home. If I didn't move, it was going to do me. And it still might do me. You know, I'm very aware that Uranus... No, but Uranus can bring shock and unpredictability. I don't like hubris either. The assumption that Jupiter's going to bring you good stuff is... terrifying.
Mental.
Terrifying. Yeah. And like, I'm sure.
Or that Saturn's going to bring you hard stuff.
Yes, also. Also.
Okay. I love my Saturn energy. Mm. Yeah.
I'm pretty much on it now.
Okay, great. Yeah.
No, but I need to leave, I think. I think that's another reason I've had to get away. I live astrocartography. I'm under Venus now. So yeah, my Venus is on your Mars. You know that.
Yeah.
And then we met when they were together. Isn't that great?
And here we are.
Here we are.
Talking about relationships, talking about identity. That's all under a Venus-Mars energy.
Wait, the Jupiter transit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in answer to your question, Mairead, I would think about that. I hadn't thought about overlapping my solar return onto my astrocartography. You can cast your astrocartography for the solar return. Do you understand? So you've got your natal... And the astrocartography is a map of your... birth chart across the globe, and the lines are where this planet is either directly overhead, below, rising or setting.
Yeah.
And when you go to those points, you're like activating the planet, and you can cast that chart for your progress chart, for your solar return, for anything. I would be very curious about it, because I've just been to my Jupiter line whilst Jupiter was trining my natal Jupiter, and it was, I'm just having these Jupiter. Yeah. Like, I was in the Maldives, I had people changing my sheets, bringing me food, free food.
So Jupiter.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And just all this lush stuff, and meeting all these really amazing big dog people, and just having the most Jupiterian experience. And I think it was double whammy because I was on the line whilst the transit was happening.
Yeah.
I've put that to test, and I haven't put the solar return to test. Something that I've seen with my solar return this year is every time the sun is on one of the points in my solar return,
great.
Shit gets real. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. I know this is your podcast.
I always do this.
Okay, yeah. Gemini, I don't want to put the colon in colonizer, but I have a question.
Ooh.
Okay. What is one small step, one small approach?
For mankind.
Yes, thank you. Who said that? JFK?
The man who didn't land on the moon.
Louis Armstrong?
Neil Armstrong.
Jesus. Louis Armstrong was the first.
Close.
I'll own it. Mercury retrograde snafu. I'll own it. I caught myself.
It was Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, the trumpet player, right? He said that. So anyway, he did play the trumpet, right?
It was the trumpet.
Okay. I'm looking at you for whatever reason. Don't let me down, blue eyes. Okay. But no, what's one small step that people can take to experience astrology? If they're like, Colin and Francesca, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about. What's one small thing that they can do immediately to begin experiencing this?
Because
we have the new moon in Virgo. So like,
let's be practical.
Goals, right. Small goals.
I would look up your moon sign.
Oh.
No?
Okay. Yeah. How many of you all know your moon sign? Raise your hand. Oh, great.
Come on,
who doesn't? Yeah. Oh, someone doesn't. No, one doesn't. That's
everybody
okay.
Everybody knows
that's
their moon sign. Yeah. I think.
No, we're learning. And I love it. Welcome. Okay.
She's making notes, man.
Yeah. See? Cool.
You don't know your moon sign?
I've got it somewhere. But
you actually
don't.
It's
a long time since I've looked at it. So,
yeah.
You know, I've had charts done, read it, and then got on with life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Said person said they don't know yet. They looked and just like summarizing for the podcast. Yeah. Audio description.
Well, yeah, I think finding my moon sign for me just was like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Get it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask too, how many of you who know their moon sign, when they read it, where they were like, oh shit, this is so real? Yeah, almost everybody. Okay, the Aquarius was like,
the Pisces moon can't remember.
Yeah. And they're proof positive. No. Guilty. No. I love it. Yeah.
What would be your advice?
No, let's stay with that. Because you know what? I also feel, because if the moon is about the subjective emotional landscape in our inner world, and we live in a culture that does not help us understand that whatsoever, I think starting with the moon is just an amazing way to normalize your responses to certain things and, yeah, maybe encourage certain strengths in that way. But then, of course, highlight the challenges of the moon signs as well.
Yeah.
Right?
And rising sign as well. But you need the exact time of birth for that.
Where moon can be a little fluctuating. For the folks that are joining, we're just talking about moon signs. Welcome. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I love that you decided that the moon sign is the way to begin. Yeah. And they can do that very simply by inputting their birth information on any one of the free astrological softwares available.
Very good.
Right.
And also life path number. I mean, I'm big into numerology as well.
Ooh, okay.
Because that's simple. Like, you can do that.
Astrology is, right.
Astrology is so complicated.
It really is.
Like, when I do astrology workshops, it's like,
I know.
God, you've got to hold people. You've got to make them concentrate.
Numerology
is just like, get your phone out. We're going to get the calculator.
Right.
Off we go. Add up your date of birth. Reduce it down.
Yeah. Done. That's true.
Okay, so Colin, what has been... We're going to open up to Q&A in a bit, I think.
Sure.
But I want to ask you...
Actually,
you guys might have questions for him in a minute, but...
Or anybody.
The biggest transit in your life that... Or when you look back, so you know, you started studying. Well, your mum's an astrologer.
A cookbook astrologer, yeah. I love her. She would allow me to say this, okay? She's a Cancer. So she used it basically to be like, oh my God, your Leo father, I'm going to divorce him. They're not divorced. Still, because Cancer. Empty threats, okay?
Like my mom.
Yeah, hello, Ida. I'm done with him. No, you're not. You're just a drama queen, mom, okay?
It's just Christmas.
Yeah, no, and she would always be, it's just Christmas, relax. And she had a pair of Gemini twins, so she was like, damn, this is real. But it was my mother who introduced it to me, yeah.
But when did you start reading about astrologer. Your moon and stuff?
In my late teens. And it was like, you're a Capricorn moon, so you're a... Rhymes with punt. Starts with a C. I love Britain. Okay, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So you know. No, it basically... You know what I loved about it is... Because I will say, like, America has incredible strengths in so much of its culture, but I do find that it gives a lot of license to just be very emotionally self-indulgent. And I'll own that. I will... I will totally own that. And my Capricorn moon cannot bear too much of that. And so... I was getting the feedback, and there might have been moments when I didn't know, of just like how harsh I was when I was just simply saying, this is the fourth time I've heard a problem, and either you're a help rejecting complainer or you're just not listening. So which one is it? And then it would get very cold in the room, you know, people would be like, wow, he's such a dick. And it's like, no, I'm just like, get help, get over it, or get out. One of the three things. Which one is it? You know? And then when I read my moon in Capricorn, I was like, I'm not a cunt. I'm just a Capricorn moon. So that would be the moment when... And then I called my sister. I was like, guess what? We're not cunts. She's like, speak for yourself. So that's what I learned about my moon sign.
Okay. And then, you know the theory of... twins splitting up their chart.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Yes. I think there's something to be said about that. I also think we do share the chart, but then it expresses itself sort of differently. So for folks that are joining, I'm a Gemini twin. We're talking about twin astrology. I received my first literary contract when my twin sister found out she was pregnant. So like we call it book babies before. So there's like that kind of energy. There's a lot of parallel things that tend to happen. She bought a home right when I was applying for dual citizenship to Italy. Mm-hmm. So it's just strange.
And before that, though, before your, you know, second Jupiter return, how did you... Because I asked you this before.
Yeah.
you were.
And I gave a different answer.
No, we were talking. No, I'm thinking about
Gemini shirt.
Last time, no, I didn't ask you. I was talking about at school. What were you like at school? And you were like super chatty, friends with everyone. Yeah. Yes. And I said, what did your sister's school report say? And you were like, needs to participate more.
Yeah, yeah.
Because did the Capricorn stuff. Like, that's what I was like at school with all my Capricorn planets, all my school reports, every single one. Francesca is a quiet, conscientious pupil. She needs to participate more in class, blah, 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 blah.
Quiet, conscientious people.
Yeah, square as fuck.
No.
Yes.
No, sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Sweet and square.
You said it, not
me. I don't mind. I am what I am. Yeah,
right. We're owning it. I just love the Britishness of a conscientious pupil. America's like, doesn't participate. We'd like to see her talk more. You know, like, oh, God, yes. I was like, what progress report? What cultural differences? I love them. Mine said, shut the fuck up. And my sister said, speak
the
fuck
up. So you were the Gemini, she was the Capricorn.
Yeah, very much so.
But now you're like both.
Yeah, we found a really good hybrid. Yeah, and it's an elite gay culture joke. In America, we call them progress reports. What do you call them? Like these reports what? That... In America, we call
them progress reports.
Yeah, like when they
just reports.
Okay, so there's this idea that like if your son is a delight to have in class but talks too much, he's gay, right? And like all the other gay boys, like you too, huh? Is a pleasure to have in class and too talkative. Yeah, yeah. So that it was so obvious. Yeah, that's what I got. And then my sister's was doesn't talk but is a really good student, and I wasn't.
You are now though.
I'm trying.
And so yeah, biggest transit.
Yeah.
How has astrology helped your family, your relationship with your family? You kind of already covered it, but I did want to ask you that.
Well, and you had also asked the question of what are your other favorite systems? And I thought you meant like psychological systems. So I love family systems. Does anybody know about systems theory? Salvador Mnuchin? Incredible. Game changer. So it's the belief that we usually in relationships live in what they call hostile dependence. So it's a mythology, meaning like we don't change because we're dependent upon other people's hostile behavior. I can't change because my mother's an alcoholic, so I'll just keep enabling.
Okay.
Right? And many of us do that. Like, I couldn't possibly. But family system says, no, when you initiate a small change in a larger machine, you change the entire family dynamic. Stop underestimating your power and don't disempower yourself by avoiding the work you need to do. Mm. Okay. So I have been blown away by what has happened when I started to learn astrology, and then my family would, there was an initial like, what is he blabbering on about?
Yeah.
And then I'm sure everybody else is, right? And then I started to learn how we create each other if we initiate new relational stances. Mm-hmm. And you know who's actually been, you don't know the whole context around this, but my straight brother is obsessed with astrology. And so he is a Long Island boy. So for context, like I grew up in the Essex of New York. Truly, truly. I'm a Long Island boy through and through. Okay. Working class, blue collar, the whole thing. And so my brother will teach like astrology in these like Long Island bars and be like, yo, bro, so your girlfriend, like, what's her fucking birthday again? Oh, yeah, she's a Capricorn. Hold on. Let me call. Ma, what time was I born? Hold on a minute. And then there's these like straight boys at a bar. Oh, my moon is in Libra. Yeah, I do like nice things. Yeah, I do. And like, that's my brother. You know, like my sister is a skeptic about it. So all this to say, like, it completely changed and now my dad, who's like the consummate Leo skeptic, no one's going to tell me that I'm special. You know how they can go, right? Yeah. He's like, well, I am the sun king. So I'm like, how do you know this? So it's actually been really transformative in that way. Yeah. But I also think that with astrology and really anything, like, people don't learn if you sort of proselytize and hit them over the head with things. They learn by demonstration. Yeah. So my brother just noticed like, yo, this shit works for him. Yeah. Can I learn it? And then that was a whole game changer. And now he's like the high priest of astrology on Long Island.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I swear to God. He's like, yeah, then I was telling her, you know, she's a Scorpio rising. So she's got to work on her trust issues. I said, yes, she does. Yeah. So I'm just amazed by him, honestly.
He should be a pro.
He really should be. And it's like kind of funny because it's so not what people would think in astrology. You know, it's usually like the girls and the gays and the days, you know, whoever. So just a straight boy going on about God only knows what, I think could be really funny in his way. He's really good at it.
There's a market for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, another question.
Okay.
I posted on Instagram the other day about you can't... basically, I have a question.
Sure.
How, with unreasonable people... Mm-hmm. You know.
How do we define unreasonable people?
Exactly. Though? We need to start with that.
Yeah. Overused, underdefined. Go ahead.
Exactly. But there are certain, there is a lot of this. I have used astrology for the same things, like work with, see how my behavior changes the whole family.
Yes.
The differences, like you're doing all the yoga, doing the meditation, responding, understanding people, being able to communicate in a way they understand, like letting things go. I get that. But at what point is that not the solution? And how can, what do you do when someone is being very forthright, very selfish? If you're in if you're having a, I don't know, very difficult divorce, or there are difficult situations.
Oh, totally.
There are abusive situations. Yes. There are realities. That how do we how can we use, maybe using astrology is a good way to understand that, I think.
It's true.
There would be a red flag in the chart saying, you know, you're dealing with something here. But abuse is a part of, maybe it's a part of society as well. This is a broader question now.
Oh, okay. I'm going too far. No, I'm tracking.
But
okay.
Mars and Pluto exist. Yeah. They're up there. Yeah, they are part of, they are archetypes. They are issues. And are we ever going to iron them out? Are we ever going to get to a situation where the school bully doesn't exist?
It'd be nice.
But Mars is Mars. Yeah, what do we do with Pluto? Like, Pluto is power, but he's also abuse. Can we get to a point where we are just like, when the universe isn't karma free? So we're know, if people, we've done bad things in past lives, you don't like that, do you?
Well, no. I'm listening. I don't know enough about it. Yeah, no. I'm processing.
Like with the past life stuff, if we've done bad things, there is karma coming around, and Pluto will be on our Mars.
Yeah.
Which is like Pluto is abuse and. Mm. Power, and Mars is aggression, and when those two combine, it can be great. You can go to CrossFit and like be number one CrossFit dude, or you can run a marathon, or you can really find your own inner power.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're 11 years old, that might be the turning point for someone picking on you. But you have to find your own power. You're being shown where you're powerless. And people tend to pick on people who haven't got their power.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've said a lot.
Yeah.
Anything to say?
Well, yeah, the first point I'm thinking of is the fact that, like, in addition to astrology, almost every leading theology, spirituality, personal growth system acknowledges that suffering is unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one.
Mm-hmm. And evil exists?
Yes. Yeah, right. But the definition of that, all
broad,
different. Yeah. Evil could be fear.
Yeah.
It could be so much, right? And so I think that what astrology could provide folks with is a proposal of, who do you want to be in the space of this suffering? Who do you want to be? Do you want to be a person who declares better boundaries? Because you can't spell boundaries without Aries. So is there an Aries issue here that you need to... Are you an Aries? Oh, okay.
She is.
Okay. Oh, you are nice. Okay. She's like, I know about those boundaries. Right? But so, yeah, I think you could leverage astrology for something like that to really determine. But no, I don't think that we are ever going to collapse or eradicate or engineer suffering and pain and anguish. I absolutely don't. And... Yeah, I don't know how far is too far, you know, and I think it's only up to the people. But to be honest with you, I think we know when that line is.
Yeah.
I think where astrologers, once again, can really help. So this is one of my favorite statistics by the Gottman Institute. Has anybody heard of them?
Yeah, you talk about it.
Yeah, I love them. So they are American researchers on relationship, and they have amazing things to say. They have investigated relationship health for 60 years in laboratories, and they have formulas and methodologies. They're amazing. So what they've determined is that there are two types of conflict in every relationship, two types. And the first type is solvable conflict, and that emerges 31% of the time. So that's
quite low, huh? You got a few more categories.
No, just one.
Woo.
And it's perpetual and ongoing conflict. So that data is 69%, meaning in every conflict, we are going to be engaged in 69% of gridlock, dilemma, and standoff all the time. And if you look at a lot of the like pseudo sophisticated spiritual jargon out there,
yeah,
it would say, no, you don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, take your underdeveloped attachment theory nonsense and shove it up your ass because you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yes, there's attachment
theory. Like, yeah. Yes, that exists. Okay, yeah. Thank you. But like you studied one book and now all of a sudden, hold on a minute, right? So I actually think astrologers can help people in the 69% of what's called perpetual and ongoing conflict and have them understand what's the deeper fear, what's the deeper wish, are you communicating in a way that guarantees you're not heard? Because a lot of us do. So let's, oh yeah. Like the way that we don't ask or do ask, or if we come at them and now, you know, we're pursuing with the point of finger.
Yeah,
and,
bloody hell. Yeah.
Right. I mean, among us was trained to manage and move through conflict responsibly? So speaking of Mars and Mars in London and la, 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 that's what I love about thinking about using astrology to help people in that 69% and be like, before you call it quits, and I'm not saying don't call it quits, but let's try these practices. Let's normalize the perpetual conflict. Because guess what? If it's not them or him or her, it's going to be somebody else wearing a different fucking pair of pants.
Yeah.
So what do you, yes or no?
Totally.
Right. So what do you want to do about that? Anyway, council rests.
It's great. You lectured me on that in January.
I lectured you on that, huh?
Taught me.
Okay, thank you. Taught all right, me as a right.
Master Capricorn.
Listen, there are two types of conflict, Francesca.
No, you were okay. Like, Fran, Cheska, what do you call me?
Franny.
Yeah. You've got to talk, because you're a Capricorn bitch, and if you don't communicate.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I don't want to. My therapist said, oh, I remember this. Yeah. My therapist said, I don't have to. I'm not your fucking therapist. I'm your friend.
I don't actually remember saying that. Yeah.
She did. Use your words. Closed mouths don't get fed. You understand me? Speak up. Don't be a polite British woman all the time. Anyway.
Yeah, but I love that, because that's the thing, that there is so much of this Instagram. If you change yourself, everything will change.
Right. And love yourself.
That's true. It's true.
Sometimes.
But also, we're sometimes in just a situation that's like, needs addressing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that our work can actually help people with disputes, with conflict, with repair. Like, I love the messy, seemingly unsolvable relational dilemmas. I'm like, I want to go in there and try to help these people get along. I really fucking do. And astrology is a roadmap for that, isn't it? Like, it is. And here we are pretending that, like, it's either A, I'm intimate and connected with you, or B, I'm cut off. Mm-hmm. So what if astrology can help us think of a third option of boundaries, but also we have protection and connection?
Yeah, and forgiveness.
Ugh,
because there's no forgiveness word. On Tinternet anymore.
No.
None.
Zero. And then when you say it, they get mad at you like I said something horribly offensive, which I usually do. But I'm like, it was not forgiveness, I can tell you that. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, no, that's a whole, yeah. Saturn and Pisces, how you doing, forgiveness?
Oh, good.
Yeah. Any Pisces influence folks here? Pisces moon? Any Pisces suns? Pisces rising, nice. Love that rising sign.
I can't remember where.
Yeah. Venus and right, forgiveness, apology, the whole thing.
Okay. And this new moon is really that as well, I think. Okay. Opposing Neptune.
Yes, heavy Pisces Virgo energy.
Yeah.
Yeah? Shall we with questions?
I think
so. Yeah, whenever you're ready, honey, you're the leader.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this new moon of Virgo?
Yeah.
Work with us.
Yes.
What's the opportunity?
Who's a Virgo? Any Virgo sons? Happy birthday, early belated.
What date?
23rd of August.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, happy belated. Nice.
30 degrees.
25th of August.
Oh, happy belated too. Great. Okay, do you want to go ahead and describe
Virgo? No, I did it yesterday.
Oh, you did? Okay. She's like, so I don't want to
do it. I'll do it.
Yeah, go ahead. This is your show.
No, you do it.
All right.
Do you not want to?
No. I just feel like I'm talking too much.
I like it.
All right. Well, I'll just say quickly. I think
just really quick. Yeah, all right, really quick.
Virgo is a sign of habit formation, okay? And how we can build character by habits, paying close attention to the choices we make as soon as we wake up. What are we doing to proactively cultivate mental and emotional and spiritual well-being? Because I swear all my Virgos are like, but did you have water with lemon and, you know, a good, you know what, a number two perhaps? And I'm like, Virgos, why do I gotta talk to you about this? I don't wanna talk about my morning routines. They're all about a routine, all about habit formation, all about the small little changes we can make. Simple, small changes. That doesn't always mean they're easy, but they are effective. And we somehow want to ignore the simple, small strategies like, oh, so I just have to breathe for 5 minutes? Yeah. Oh, I just have to like get my heart rate up? Duh. Yeah, I just have to...
Someone's got a PT.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Well, no, I was preaching this shit for whiles about meditation and everything, and nobody wants to hear it. I know the Virgos know
that
they'll, like,
today,
recommend simple things to people, and they, like, actively reject it. It's like, so you want the expensive, complicated problem, like, solution? What is it? So it's all about simple, small goals.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I think this new moon in particular is weirdly tied into what we were just saying, because it's an aspect to Uranus which cuts off. And it's opposing and brings change and brings freedom. And it's like, you know, like, really start again. Mm-hmm. And it's opposing Neptune, which is to do with connection, being confused, but also forgiveness.
Yeah.
And it could be a really clear, like, when people are stuck in relationship dynamics and they're arguing about the same thing over and over, because nobody's moved, you've got to wipe the slate clean at a certain point. If you've decided you're going to carry on, then... decide that.
Yeah.
Leave the past in the past.
Yeah, so maybe we could think about the new moon as an understanding to address our willingness level for forgiveness and apology. Ooh, the hard shit, but it's true. Who do
That's
we need? Yeah, who do we need to offer an apology to? And of course, yes, yourselves. Yeah, I love that too. In America, I'll be like, you need to apologize to others. And like, no, what you need to do is apologize to yourself. Girls.
This
both.
Is what I thought he would be, by the way.
No.
At the beginning of the pod.
No, like, no, no. And forgiveness. No, thanks. Forgiveness of self and others as well, too. Yeah. Apology, forgiveness, self and others for protection and connection.
Beautiful. Thank you. Does anyone want to ask Colin a question?
Or
me?
I have one.
Go, Gemini.
Go ahead, Taurus. No, Taurus.
She's got a very nice...
Oh, good.
So if a person has ascendant... Pluto and Mars, very, very close.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Wait,
natally, a child.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it made sense.
What, because that, you were talking about that earlier.
He's got Mars Pluto conjunction on his ascendant.
Not in conjunction, very, very close.
What would
your advice be on that?
Use it.
Because Capricorn is all about,
work, ambition, motivation.
Yeah.
Climb that mountain, yeah. But, like, climb it.
It's not a negative.
Nothing is. The natal chart can be used. The transits can bring a confrontation of any energies that we're not expressing. Like I said with the astrocartography, if you go to your Mars line and you're not using your Mars, you'll be smacked around the head with Mars. Do the planets or they do you, which is what tends to happen until we're 30. Until our Saturn return, some people are mature and lucky and they understand themselves. But personally, I was being, you know, there were bits of my life that were a gift. I'd gone to live abroad. I was a Sag. I'd done that. I was aligned. But the other bits that I was firmly unconscious of, firmly rejecting, and I was being smacked around the head with those things. And that tends to be what happens to all of us. And so if that's the gift of astrology, that's why we have astrology, because our birth chart is this potential. It's a potential for good, it's a potential for bad, it's the pressure from the past, it's the pull to the future. The birth chart is simultaneously your past, your present, and your future. You can look at it and go, okay, what are interesting ways of using this? And we're still consistently surprised. Clients come to us and we see the chart and our own chart. I've just had transits at the moment and I was thinking, it's, you know, you could be this, could be that, could be this, could be that. And then my dad sold the pet insurance business that I worked on for 9 years. I never saw that coming, but that's the experience. Anyway, that's an aside. We don't know what's going to come through, but you can get with the reading somebody's chart. And I'm always careful with young people anyway, because you don't want to... I'm wider. You know, when you interpret, you're going to be much broader in what the possibility could be.
Yeah.
In the Maldives, I ended up doing a lot of children's charts, and, like, the whole family were there.
Ooh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, they booked, and then they were like, we want to do the kids. And I was like, okay. And then the kids were there. But, like, one of the boys, they've been in Shanghai, and then they moved to the States. You know, I don't want to talk about personal things, but I could see that and I could validate the experience. And you just want to leave it very
open to interpretation,
very broad, but still give a flavor. And that flavor for me, without looking at the whole chart, is something to be passionate about, something to work on, something to be motivated towards. Maybe sport.
Yeah, the only thing I would add around that too actually would be maybe just the notion of actually self-compassion. Uh-huh. Because whenever I have a strong Capricorn placement individual, they can be incredibly hard with negative self-talk. So I would work on the self-talk.
Is Jupiter as well in Capricorn?
Yeah, same.
They can achieve an incredible amount. Yeah. And then the distinction sometimes with Capricorn, though, is like, do not confuse your worth with work. They are separate, right? Yeah, I know, I know. I have a Capricorn dominant chart, so I'm talking to myself here. No, but and also, too, if we can, like, I think especially with, like, young boys who are told, be assertive, be strong, don't be weak, don't be vulnerable, da-da-da, I have to be infallible, right? Actually introducing a level of self-compassion and gentleness with someone who has strong Capricorn energy might be life-saving.
Yeah, and the sensitivity. Capricorn is sensitive.
Yeah.
And the sun as well is in Capricorn. It's everything is in Capricorn.
Self-compassion. So look at Kristen Neff's work. She is an American psychologist, but I swear she's not like, me. Right? Really great, amazing guided meditations all about, and empirical research too, predominantly on how to introduce more self-compassion in our self-talk, because she did determine that the way that we talk to ourselves about ourselves and struggle really tends to determine an outcome. And we are in control of that.
Also, just in addition to that,
speaking as Capricorn.
Capricorn, yes.
Capricorn, Sun, Moon, and Mercury.
Okay.
Embracing our spirituality because...
Yes, sea goat.
The sea goat, the highest evolution of Capricorn. Yeah. There is like a deep innate knowing with Capricorn people that I think in popular astrology is not really looked at.
No,
good point. That's a really good point.
Is often missed. So I think it's exploring that connection to the divine.
Definitely.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, thanks. Yeah, especially with Jupiter. Cool. But Jupiter and Capricorn more likely something to follow, which is, I guess, why you're here.
Yeah.
Jupiter's at 29, so it's kind of...
Bloody hell. So what was your initial question?
My initial question was Mars-Pluto. The ascendant Pluto and Mars all smack dab, like, right, so it's...
Is it 12th house Mars-Pluto or first house?
Not sure, actually.
Nikki, can you look?
Is this in the first or the 12th?
It's in the 12th because ascendant's at 1 degree 45 and the Pluto's at 1 degree 18. So
oh, God, it's conjunct. Yeah. It's fine.
Okay. So it's all squished up.
It's just powerful.
Yeah, it's a very
What was his birth
chart.
Like?
It was an emergency C-section because he's got a cord to his around.
Classic. Pluto conjunct the ascendant are always like that. Often like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they come out, like, dealing with death straight away. Pluto on the ascendant. Oh, yeah.
Because they were trying to find his heartbeat at one.
Yeah, it's like Pluto on the ascendant. And that's how they meet life. So he's meeting life with that intensity all the time. Amazing. Like life and death situations. Amazing. But makes him very able to read the room and always...
Yeah.
But can always be scanning for, like, what's going on. But also that's going to make him powerful and psychic. And that's why he likes the animals, yeah. Maybe, as well. Because it's, like,
intuitive.
Reading.
It's very intuitive,
even though probably... Yeah, super intuitive.
Yeah. But thank you, I appreciate it.
Sorry, I'm going...
That was beautiful. I'm amazed. Yeah. Wow. I'm creeped out in the best way. Yeah. Love it.
Pleasure. Yeah.
With regards to elective C-sections. Where you can essentially choose.
Yeah. Mm. My friend who I met today elected her third child to have the birthday before her so she wouldn't ruin her birthday planning his parties.
Now watch the universe be like, yeah, okay, bitch. And like taking it in a different direction.
The third one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fascinating though, right?
Yeah, it's big. I know that in Brazil it's big because they do a lot of elective C-sections in Brazil.
Oh, wow.
Because they don't want to ruin anything.
Got it.
Somebody's done some research on this.
Wendy.
And it's like there's going to be loads of people with certain ascendants because people are booked in at certain times.
9 to 5, yeah.
Yes. There's going to be a massive shortage of people of certain rising
signs. Well, certain combinations.
Yeah.
Certain combos.
So it's like, woo, we've got all this, like, amazing, like, technology,
yeah, it does.
But actually, what are we doing as well?
Yeah. And everybody's got a solar chart.
Yesterday, and I was like, oh, it's quite
mind-boggling. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm not natural, but I said during the night, because it's the safest time. That's when the majority of naturally born babies.
Oh, good knowledge. We were both born at Sunset.
Well, for women.
Okay, of course. Yeah, my twin sister just had a baby boy in Gemini season 45 minutes before our birthday.
I love that.
So he was born at 11:15 at night. Yeah, he said, oh, I don't want your birthday. No, Capricorn rising. So yeah, I didn't know that about nighttime though. That's so interesting. Cool.
Mm. Yeah. So that's a really interesting synchronicity, and I'm sure you both see this a lot. Fran, I've heard you talk about it before, in fact. It's when you look at families and all the overlaps.
Yeah.
You know, obsessed. Like having the same birthdays. Like,
happens all the time.
All the time.
You know, someone's moon is a sun sign. Yeah. Like, it's like amazing, isn't it?
DNA.
Yeah, it sends DNA. My Mars in Cancer into like a tizzy because I'm just like, it's so beautiful to me, like just how the stories overlap and how like certain zodiac signs have a continuity towards each other. And then you realize like each child or person is a story within a story. All we are is stories. I could go on. I think it's incredible. And then isn't it beautiful to see like, oh, so me and my grandmother had the same Jupiter sign and
we love talking about that.
Yeah, like looking at these things, it's a total... Yeah, a friend of mine's trying to bring it into her, like, what's called, like, family constellation therapy practice. Yes.
Mm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great way of understanding people. And yes. People, particularly, like, you know, maybe grandparents who you weren't old enough to understand the way they were.
Yeah.
But then if you look at your chart, and obviously we never know without having a conversation with somebody, but sometimes you can see things and go, oh, yeah. That's... Blame,
yes,
like,
yes,
thing.
yes.
Love it. Yeah.
We have a node almost identically at the same. It's the one that goes like that. Yeah.
Did you have it when you were what age?
36.
35?
Yeah,
35,
yeah.
36. Yeah.
But yeah, they're
nice.
Almost identically the same.
Destiny.
Love that.
Destiny. Love
well,
it.
But I understand that means it's past life. Like,
oh.
Yeah, yeah. Strong connection.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Yeah, please.
So I recently learnt about my north node and my south node, like through reading my birth chart, kind of immersing myself. Can you talk a bit more about the importance of your north node and your south node?
Yes.
And that journey and soul connections and all that.
Great question.
To it, but yeah,
so can we talk about the importance of the North and South node and remembering that we're recording? And also coming back to Colin's question earlier, if you could give a beginner astrologer or an absolute novice something to look at, and I said the moon, I would also say the nodes. Because the nodes are a wealth of information.
Yeah.
Really, really, really. And yours are interesting because you're on a cusp.
Yes.
But...
What are they? What are the nodes?
What are the nodes? What do you do it, bitch?
You lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, but I was
oh my god,
talking.
You do it. No, I love it. Everybody saw her enthusiastic reaction. Now doesn't.
I love
do
the
it.
Nodes.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, right.
Okay, the nodes.
Yeah, right. I got you.
They're actually the lunar nodes. All planets have nodes. But so right, I normally get my hands. Start doing diagrams. The sun is here. The Earth goes around the Sun across the ecliptic, and the Moon goes around the Earth at it once. And four times a year, the path crosses. The path of the Moon going around the Earth crosses the ecliptic, which is the path of the Sun going around the Earth. So the nodes aren't a thing. They're not a planetary body. They're an energetic pull. They're a point in space. And the North Node, I can never... It's one of these things I can't do left and right.
Okay.
I can't do latitude and longitude.
Okay.
There's one bit, like the moon comes up.
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, but because I'm not sure where you're going with this yet. I'm like
breathless. Like there is the direction of the moon coming across the ecliptic, going up is the north node and down is the south node, or vice versa.
Yeah, right. I'm going to say the first one.
I think what I said sounded right.
Yeah.
But either way, you don't need to know the astronomy of it, but that's what it is. One is up and one is down. And it's the energy coming in and the energy that we need to release. In India, it's Rahu and Ketu. Can anyone say that better? Rahu and Ketu.
That's great, yeah.
So the north node is where we need to go. It's the karma, it's the direction, it's the calling of our soul. Like the souls, I miss that breathing. He used to do that. I love it.
Because I'm really... I'm just taking this in. Yeah.
Like before the cameras went on, he'd be there going...
Focus. So loud. Sag, go ahead. Yeah, it's loud.
Yeah, so the North End is just where we got to go. It's the calling of our soul. And the South Node, right, astrologers argue about this. He might say something different. A lot of people say the South Node you've got to leave behind. It's your bad habit. We tend to experience and exhibit the negativity of our South Node. Mm. Israel doesn't agree with me. Israel or Jose. He's like, nah, your South Node, you're really good at it. You're an expert at it. Carry it. Keep it with you. Mm. I
think your sun's where your South Node is, like me, and your sun is what you're growing into in this life, then it's
a bit of a paradox.
Good.
Colin can answer that.
So the South Node, to summarize, is could be what you want to, you know, maintain a sense of specialty on and or let go and then bring it to the North.
The South Node, we really need to understand our South Node. The South Node is our karmic baggage.
Yeah.
It is something that we have experienced in a past life and it held us back. It's not been easy. And maybe if you want to go down the past life route, maybe we used that energy badly and in a negative way, or we got held in that situation. Mm. And then we can attract that energy in and we can go to acting out in accordance with that energy. So acting out as an Aries would be losing your temper unnecessarily. Acting out as a Cancer would be being really emotional and like, oh, I can't do anything, just crying and maybe being emotionally manipulative. I'm not going to go through all the signs. Every sign has a negative way of manifesting. And our South Node is, we have a tendency to be the negative of the South Node.
Mm.
And until we bring consciousness to it and actively go, I need to be more my North Node, we won't really be happy, I don't think. That's why the nodes are so important.
So important.
You talk.
Oh, well, yeah, I wouldn't disagree with anything that you said. I also love knowing that they are in polar opposite signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that we're polar opposite sun signs, Gemini, Sag, right? So I love how astrology normalizes the paradox, polarity, and asks for the integration of the signs, not the alternation of the sign, right? So it's not Virgo or Pisces. It's Virgo and Pisces. It's Aries and Libra, Taurus and Scorpio, Gem and Sag, Cancer and Cap, Leo and Aquarius, right? Those are all the six pairs. And when we know that and we take that stance, it just opens up so many more possibilities. And I definitely feel my chart function more effectively when I look at my South Node as something that I have a little bit of a specialty in, and I have to integrate it into the North Node's domain, right? So integration, not alternation.
Love that. Integration, not alternation.
Yeah. It's not or, it's and.
Lovely.
Because why else would we have two as a pair?
Yeah.
So astrologers took this natural both end thing and made it an or. What are you doing?
I heard it described as like a spiral as well. So you're
Ouroboros, isn't it?
Yes, that's great. And how like sometimes when you go to the sun, the south, the north expands. And then if you're in the north, the set, like it all gets activated. Yeah, Jan Spiller wrote an amazing book on that.
My fave.
Yeah, iconic. Yeah, rest her soul.
Unbelievable book.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just so
Evolution of the soul?
Astrology
of the soul. Yeah. Astrology of the soul by Jan Spiller.
Epic, epic book. So yeah, I think every time I get pulled into my south node in Scorpio... with Saturn there, you know, and this is my whole school year, which is why I really love that loyalty of both Scorpio and Taurus, but the tendency to do the South Node Scorpio, vengefulness, punishment, manipulation, being very, very emotionally dramatic about things, but not showing it, you know, in that very Scorpionic way. And needing to control. Scorpio loves emotional control. So with the South Node in Scorpio, you can get into a whole mess. And remembering to go to the North Node in Taurus to appreciate stuff and calm and having your own financial security, not being enmeshed with other people, not being in, you know, any kind of toxic, weird dynamic. Because in the past lives, Jan Spiller says that we were, you know, wedded to the king or wedded to someone very powerful, and we had to keep a sexual relationship alive to keep ourselves alive. That's what one of the things, whoa, one of the examples, or like being being, you know, Saturn in Scorpio on our south node is quite a lesson. But yeah, we do need to hold on to it. And of course I can't escape my Saturn. Like, you can't escape your Sun. I have to do my Saturn well. I have to be the Scorpio and understand how to be Scorpionic, have depth and own all of that without going into the hot mess of the south node. Yeah. And my ex-boyfriend's Sun would bang on my south node. And we had a nodal opposition, so my moon was bang on his south node. And that was an education. And like you said, it really opened it out, because it's a very strong connection where we were just dancing between being really emotional and Scorpio, and then just being really chill and loyal. But you do continue to grow, like Nikki just said about it being a cycle. Like, the more... I'm going to keep being pushed to experience both ends of that nodal spectrum. And we all will. And that's, I think that's what you were saying. It's like not about just doing one bit, but you're going to grow as a person by being pushed in your sensitive trigger area. But can you, if you can remember to go to your north node by sign and house and the opportunities of that, which is listed brilliantly in Jan Spiller's book, I think that's great. What is it? What are your nodes?
So my north is Cancer.
Nice.
And my south is Capricorn.
Nice.
And in which houses? What's your rising?
Leo. My moon is
6/12.
Yeah, so 6/12. Yeah. My sun is Libra.
Okay, so it'd be 6/12-ish, yeah?
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
Let go and let God.
Yes. There's a lot of letting go.
I bet.
It's been amazing, because when I read more about it, everything in my north made absolute sense.
Oh, North Node Cancer.
So I was like, but there were things that I knew, but I had never admitted, like, to anybody. So it was definitely like a lightning
bolt. It's hugely revealing, isn't it?
And then looking at my south, you know, Capricorn, certainly for me from a career perspective, is absolutely so easy. That's my safe space.
Yeah.
So it's been a lesson to lean into being more of my north. So it's been absolutely, like, amazing.
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So I've found it. Like, I've been trying to read as much as I can and learn more about it, because it was kind of like the missing piece.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really pleased you asked the question, because I said moon and we were like, oh yeah, we'll stick with moon. But nodes would be a brilliant answer to that question. If you don't know anything about astrology and you've been listening to this and you can look up your nodes, then you're going to be like, whoa.
Yeah, it's like a silver bullet sometimes. Yeah. If you're like, all of this is annoying, what's one thing I could focus on? The nodes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any more questions, anyone? Has anyone else? Yeah, we will come to you. I just want to check no one else has got one. Yeah, go.
I don't have a question. I was just going to say, we're the opposites. My north node is Capricorn and my south node is Cancer.
Oh, shit. Is this your first time meeting? Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. Nodal oppositions.
Yes, they can. Yeah, anyone? Caroline.
I've got something I just want to say, and then he's a doubter. He's been looking up questions to ask about astrology that can't be answered. So.
Okay, great.
So just to say about the notes, I've always been curious about the placement of my notes. I've got Leo in 7th house and Aquarius in 1st house. And I have been, until literally 2 days ago, it didn't make sense. Because I have no groups that I'm really...
Are you north node?
Is in Aquarius.
Okay.
Yourself, yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, it all made sense. I won't go into details because I'm not quite sure yet myself, but like my future path is, you know, I've written a book and all of that, but also to create a community or something for the benefit of a lot of people in my future, which I discovered, but I didn't know anything about this aspect of my life. It just, you know, just came to me. And so now I understand I have Leo, which is outgoing.
South node.
South node. And then I have the Aquarius, the groups, and giving back as my, what I really need to be putting my energy into, but also using this Leo energy,
yeah.
which isn't properly the way to address. I'm not, I don't feel particularly Leo.
You look it.
But,
you know, hair, boots, yeah.
Hair. Everything is like, you know, like, shh, to come together. And I'm like, I'm activated, I'm excited, and I'm kind of like, I understand the chart, you know, like the first time.
That's
really
amazing.
Get it. So, yeah,
that's great.
I just have one more question on the notes. You asked about the houses your notes are in. What's the significance of the houses on top of the signs?
I think it's about equal. I think because the nodes are quite slow moving, anything that takes over a year to transit, I'm very interested in the houses. You know, it's not, these aren't personal planets. And for me, there were times when I got so much more from the house placement of my node. And I remember, again, saying this to other astrologers, and they were like, no, it's both. Of course it's both. The sign matters. But I think the house is super relevant.
Yeah.
Super relevant.
I think Jan Spiller's book covers the house.
It does.
Oh, it does?
It does, yeah, because it'll say like North Node in Libra or seventh house. So it's, yeah, it has like a double layer. Yeah.
Great. Did he have a question? Yeah, go on, ask one.
It's your opportunity to ask the most difficult question.
I'm deferring to you on this one.
What's the hardest question that,
that
Google can come up with?
Chat bot.
Is astrology science, art, or religion?
Is astrology...
That's a beautiful question.
I'm repeating.
Okay.
Is astrology science, art, or religion? Go ahead, then. I'll do it if you want.
I do think it can be an art form, but I actually would answer that it's none of the above. Yeah, I would think on it, this is going to be really woo. But I genuinely believe that all things spiritual are an experience. So we get into a lot of quagmire and weeds around like, you really believe in this shit? Do you believe in astrology? I don't believe it. Belief is meaningless.
It's not a belief.
It's not a belief system. It's an experience. You experience spirituality. You experience esoteric energy in a way that belief, and let me tell you about it, is so unimportant. I mean, especially in America, there are people who claim to believe in a very loving God and then weaponize the name of that loving God to do horrible things to people. So do they, yeah, they believe in God, but do they experience God? Maybe not, right? So I like thinking about astrology or anything spiritual as an experience. And then when you have that, you don't need to convince anybody of anything because you're like, I'm good. Like, I hope you find your experience because I found mine.
And a classic way to experience it is through Mercury retrograde.
Oh, okay. I like that, Aquarius.
You trended.
We got the 7 o'clock
star. Oh, wow. See, there we go. Yeah. Same it's time. Like, how do we make, yeah, exactly. I had a fire on my flight. On the way here.
Fire.
Yes. Jesus. Yeah. I was like, son of a bitch.
Babe, that's not Mercury
yeah,
retrograde.
Yeah, I know. That's just me flying in the
that's
it was British Airways. So don't blame my country. No.
I would add that it's definitely not a belief system. It's not a religion because there is no end goal. I started out believing that astrology was a science because I could do it. Because I could meet someone and be like, were you born at 3 a.m.? Go and ask your mum. And they'd be like, I don't know. I'd be like, do it. And because I could work it. If I can retrofit, if I can meet someone and work out when they're born, then I'm using a method. And how do you define science? Science is an empirical understanding of the natural world through observation. So you make observations, you find data, you get a pattern, you create your conclusion. If you can do that, then there is an element of science. But it depends how you define science, and astrologers don't like to do that because it isn't always predictable. It's not that every single Mercury in Aquarius is going to do the same thing, but I could still hear that your son likes gaming and say, has he got Mercury in Aquarius? Because it's kind of obvious. Because Mercury in Aquarius likes technology, and Venus also. Venus is in Aquarius because he likes technology. These things are obvious because astrology works. But, you know, there will always be anomalies because some people are really repressed and aren't living their truth. And also there's so many ways things can manifest. Like we said, you can't read the chart and know exactly what's going to happen. So now I'm more like, it's an intuitive science, but there is a method. For me, there's method,
yeah.
And there's maths, and there's transits, and it's all very predictable. And I've got a mathematical head, you know, that's what I was good at school. I'm not good at words. I'm good with numbers and stats and remembering things. So it fits that, but it does annoy astrologers when we say that. Any other questions about... Yes, go.
What's the significance of Chiron and other asteroids relative to planets? Are they...
Great question.
Or is there a hierarchy?
What is the relevance of Chiron and other asteroids was the question. So there's just the we're just beginning, probably. The sky is full. We've got the planets, and 500 years ago we didn't have Pluto or Uranus or Neptune. We just had the classical planets, and in Vedic astrology they still only work with that, and you can still get plenty from being a traditional astrologer and using the planets. Each planet... I heard someone say the other day, the more we develop psychologically, the more we understand the world, the more we are like understanding these patterns and the way we experience things, the more we're discovering planets, because the planets match certain things. And then the asteroids, we're getting more and more asteroids in notation. Chiron is fascinating. He's great to work with, but also all the other asteroids as well. There's a feminist aspect to that. Because the Olympian gods, Jupiter, Neptune, Pluto, etc., are all male. And now we're bringing in the women. But that's also matching the rise of, you know, the Me Too movement and women, feminism actually moving as opposed to being talked about. So I think that there's... But you use much tighter orbs with them because they're smaller bodies. But they all have so much information. Like, do you know where your Eros placement is? And have you ever met anyone whose sun is on your Eros?
And live to tell the tale.
What do you say?
In reference to the question?
Yeah.
That was beautifully expressed. I loved your... I have nothing to add.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not just saying that. That was beautifully expressed. Yeah, so really important. If you feel moved to it, like... This is an interpretive, intuitive system, right? So if you feel moved to study them, go ahead. Yeah, and just maybe that's the way you're... Maybe that's your way in.
Yeah. One of my teachers just went absolutely mad shit for all these different asteroids. Like, there's one called Vaticanus. And I worked at the Vatican, and I've got Vatican conjunct my Saturn or something.
I can't.
There's like...
But there's one about once, like one day, Bill Clinton played the saxophone in public, and the asteroid Sax was on his son or something.
Yeah. I cannot. I can't. Yeah, I love it so much.
Yeah. But they're just very, they're very, very tight aspects. But... Yeah, there's bazillions of these bloody things. There's a website, if you go on, it's called SEENU.com, and there's like bazillions of all the asteroids you can get them. And look at your Eros and Psyche, because the myth of Eros and Psyche is like, you know, yeah. I'm not going to say it because it's long, but Eros and Psyche, look at your Eros, look at your Psyche, find people you fancy. Yeah. Okay, we've gone on and on and on. Yeah. Colin... Thank you so much.
Fun. Thank you guys. Thank you. This is
we are honored to have your so mercurial good. Wit and genius. I loved it so much. And I wanted to do it in person. I was going to come to New York. In theory. But
that would have been,
you're
no,
going to Italy
better.
Anyway.
Yeah, this is better. Yeah. Look at this.
So
vibe.
This was last minute, Mercury retrograde, and just thank you.
Of course, honey. Thank you for everything. Mwah. This is me giving a hand hug. I love you. Thank you for joining. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening.
Oh, wait, Colin, where do we find you, etc.?
Queer Cosmos on Instagram. That's the only one I use because I haven't moved over to TikTok yet. I probably never will because I'm a grandpa.
Yeah, it's a bit late for TikTok.
What
about Threads?
No, I can't.
Why not?
Because who can manage all these things? Yes or no? Yeah, I'm glad I'm in a good company. I can barely keep track of email. Now I'm going to add something else to fucking distract myself with.
Okay.
You know, I know. Yeah, sorry.
No, I like that. And your website?
No, I have a website, colinbedell.com. I should have mentioned that.
Say it slower.
colinbedell.com. colinbedell. Yeah, so those are the two ways to contact. Old school. Keep it simple.
Love that.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks everyone.
Thank you
for your questions.
Thank you.